Today I want to talk to you about faithfulness. Faithfulness. And of course, in Hebrews chapter 3, we have a wonderful example there of faithfulness. And we see that contrast made in the beginning of the chapter. But faithfulness. Faithfulness. Good servants are hard to come by. And if you're an employer, good workers are hard to come by. And good employees are ones that employers want to keep and are happy to have around. But a lot of times in a lot of different industries, there's a high turnover rate. And you talk to the people who are running the companies, they say, it's so hard to find good work. And we were talking to my brother down in North Carolina where he sells insurance, and he says, boy, it's sure hard to find good employees, ones that are faithful, ones that will just, you know, work hard and be faithful. You know, our armed forces in the United States, what do they say they're looking for? A few good men. A few good men. Of course, I'm sure they're going to change that because that's so sexist, you know. But a few good men. And what's the motto of the Marines, Brother Frank?
Always
faithful. The Latin words there, what, semper fidelis or something like that? And always faithful. Or it's Latin for always faithful, the motto. Being faithful. And even Solomon, in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 6, said this. He says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man, who can find? If I worked in the HR department of a company and I was involved in hiring, I would have that verse carved on my door as people would come in to interview. What do? They come in to interview and they give you this resume, and of course they want to give the most glowing report that they can of themselves, how wonderful they are, look at all that they have done and accomplished. And that's all great, but it's up to the interviewer to determine, are they a faithful person? Are they a person that can be counted on? And in fact, we really live in a day where that is such a priceless commodity that a company will take you and train you. They'll invest the money to train you to do the job. You can come to a company not having many of the skills that they're looking for, but if you have faithfulness, if you have character, they'll invest in you and teach you the job that they will have you to do. But faithfulness, it's a rare virtue. Yet among believers and in the church, faithfulness is to be the norm. Okay, it is to be what we would expect. David in Psalm 12 and verse 1 said, help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. The faithful fail from among the children of men. And we sure do live in a day where our heart cry would be about the same as David's. Oh, Lord, help. Where are the godly people? Even among those who call themselves God's people, where are the faithful? Now, I realize I'm preaching to the choir today. You all are here today, and I appreciate your faithfulness in being here. It's good to have you here. But faithfulness is such an important characteristic. And what does it mean to be faithful? We think of faithfulness. You know, we think of a one who is dependable. You give them a job, you can count on it getting done. They're reliable, trustworthy, obedient. You know, that's one of the qualities you look for in a deacon, are these qualities. And that's one thing I appreciate about our deacon here, Brother Frank. I'm not trying to put him on the spot, but as I was driving over today, I realized that our van is in the shop, and in the cup holder of our van are the church keys. And that van is locked up in somebody's lot right now. But I was confident that our good, faithful Deacon Frank had the keys to the church and that he'd get there before I got there. So when we came, and the kids go, do you think he'll get there first? I said, oh, I'm sure he'll be there before we are. And do you think he has the key? Oh, I'm putting a whole lot of trust that he does have the key. So I got here, of course. It was open, set up as usual, which is such a great blessing. I appreciate that. Great faithfulness. One who's dependable, reliable, trustworthy, and obedient. You know, can a person be trusted? Are they honest? Do they have integrity? You know, when you're at a bank, you go to a bank. I was at a bank a couple of weeks ago and I had to make a withdrawal of some money, and you know, the people went back into the big vault and to go get some money, but it wasn't just one person. They had two. There's a whole system of checks on each other. They, you know, counting the money twice, signing off on this, doing this and that and the other. And you know what? What are they doing? They're being faithful stewards of that which has been entrusted to their care. Being faithful, reliable. And God himself requires his servants to be faithful and committed. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians, the fourth chapter. And here in a very small verse, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. It did not say there, it is required in stewards that a man be found strong, wealthy, intelligent, good-looking, well-dressed, popular. It didn't list any of those qualities. What did it say? It only listed one quality, a steward. Who was a steward? A steward is one who has been given responsibility. We have the word stewardship. We talk about stewards on an airline or on a train. The steward is one who's responsible for the passengers to make sure that they are where they're supposed to be, have what they need, that they remain seated during the flight. They're the caretakers of the airplane, the steward or the stewardess, a person with responsibility. You think of the Old Testament, Abraham's servant, Eliezer, and he was his steward. He was the top servant in his house, trusted to the extent that Abraham actually sent him out to find a bride for his son. Now, you wouldn't send a servant that just arrived on the job a week, you know, prior. I mean, when Abraham's servant went back to where Laban was, or Rebecca was, he was entrusted. He had a whole train of camels with him. We know he had lots of jewels and gold because he gave bracelets and gold earrings and gifts to the family. And can you imagine Abraham saying, well, you know, I'd like someone to find a son for my Isaac. And who's that new guy we just hired last week? Yeah, let's get him. You know, he'd have sent out his train of camels with gold and silver and probably never seen him again. Who knows? But who did Abraham send? He sent his most trusted servant, one that he could count on to go and do exactly what he was told and to return. And so a steward is one who's been given responsibility. All of us are stewards to one extent or another. God has given us a body. We are stewards of our bodies. We're to be faithful in the way we use that which God has given to us. And so here in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful, dependable, reliable, trustworthy, obedient. Now, God is faithful. And we have the example in Scripture of God's faithfulness. Of course, God has many characteristics, many qualities, but one that really stands out is his faithfulness. When you think about the faithfulness of God, God can be depended on. And, you know, even as we look at God's creation, it displays the faithfulness of God. You look at how God has set up even our solar system and how our days run, our calendar, our the sun rising and setting, actually the earth turning around, and the moon, the tides, and everything that God has done. And you know what? Even climate change. What does the Bible say? It says, as the earth standeth, there's going to be cold and summer, and there's going to be fall, there's going to be harvest. Yeah, they get four seasons per year. You know, God invented climate change. Okay, we talk about the seasons, we're not talking about the liberal mess. But anyway, God is faithful. And he doesn't have a double standard. God does not change. He's dependable. In Malachi chapter 3, God speaking to his people in verse 6, he says, I am the Lord, I change not, or I don't change. And the word we use for the unchangeableness of God is the word immutable. Immutable. We talk about that as one of God's character qualities. He is immutable. He does not change. And this is what he says to the children of Israel, I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. And of course, God is basically saying there, if it wasn't for my faithfulness and sticking with my covenant, you all would be gone. I would have wiped you out a long time ago. But I am faithful to my word. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, it says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ is God, and Jesus Christ does not change. You know what one of the most frustrating things in life is? Whether it's working for an employer or a child under the authority of his parents, one of the most frustrating things in life is when your authority keeps moving the goalposts. Isn't that frustrating? Can you imagine playing a soccer game? And you're that lead striker, and here you are coming down to the goal, and you, it looks like you're going to be able to, and all of a sudden the goal just, it just goes down to 1 foot wide. You're like, well, how am I supposed to get the ball? And then the goalie's standing there. There's no way you can succeed. Next time you come down to the field, and all of a sudden that goal, it moves off to the left side of the field. You know what? You talk about it. Maybe that would be a new game we could invent. I don't think anybody would play it, though. It'd be way too frustrating. Why? Because the standard keeps changing. You know, it's frustrating for children in the home when one day this is the rule and then the next day it slides. Or say, mom says it's one thing and then when dad comes home, there's a whole other set of rules. That's frustrating. That's a lack of faithfulness and it's very frustrating to children. Like I said, if in your workplace the goalposts kept changing where you could not succeed, you'd go find another job. But the scripture tells us that God is faithful. He does not change. He's dependable. Jesus Christ says, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we know the faithfulness of Christ, of course, in Hebrews chapter 3. In the first six verses there where Jesus Christ is being compared to Moses. And if you want to point to a faithful man in scripture, you point to Moses. Moses was faithful in all his house. He was faithful as a servant, and he's a great example. And certainly, just as Moses demonstrates faithfulness, Jesus Christ exhibits faithfulness. And the comparison there that is, yes, Moses was faithful, but Moses was simply a servant. He was a steward in the house, but Jesus Christ, he was faithful. But he is the son. He is over the house. He is the authority. And of course, he is to be worshipped. This will be the example of Jesus Christ in Hebrews chapter 3. Because he is faithful, he can be trusted. A faithful person is trustworthy. God is trustworthy. In fact, the scriptures tell us and encourage us, command us to put our trust in him. God is trustworthy. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with what? With all thine heart. That's total commitment, folks. Total commitment. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. You know, putting your trust in something and talking about total commitment. I'm reminded of a video I saw of a guy trying to climb into a boat, and it was kind of just off the dock, and he had 1 foot on the dock and 1 foot in the boat, and he was kind of, he wasn't fully committed. And what happened? He ended up not on the dock and not in the boat. Went right down into the pond. You know, God tells us to trust him with all of our heart. You know, when you get on, when you board an airplane, and that airplane takes off, you are 100% committed. You're on the plane. You know, you're not, well, I got second thoughts about this. No, you're on. And where that plane goes, there you go to, and you have placed your trust in the ability of the pilot and in the ability of the mechanics who've got the plane running as it ought to be, and you place your trust in that plane. Okay? Well, God tells us that we're to trust in him, not with half of our heart, not with some reservations. God, I'll trust you as well about this far, but that's it. Remember Naaman? He was told to go dip in the Jordan River. How many times? 7. What happened on the 6th time? Nothing. Okay? Until he had committed himself to what he was told to do, he was not healed. But when he came out of the water on that 7th time, he had obeyed. He had followed instructions. And he was healed. God is trustworthy. We're to trust him with all our heart, not to lean on our own understanding, but in all our ways to acknowledge him. And what does he say he'll do? And he shall direct thy paths. He will tell you where to go. He will lead you in the right path. You ever committed yourself to an untrustworthy person? We did recently. Back in January of last year, a guy came by and wanted to sell some pens on consignment, and so we let him take a few pens with a 90-day, you can pay these off or return them. Well, he still hasn't returned the pens, and he still hasn't paid us. He only owes us about $832, but he's a thief. He is unfaithful, and he's going to find himself in jail. Not because I'm going to put him there, but he's ripped off other people who've contacted us. And so there's lawsuits going on right now. But anyway, here's an unfaithful person. You know, committing yourself to an unfaithful person is always a disappointment. It's like, oh, you know, I trusted his word. God does not disappoint. Now, God is trustworthy, and God is committed to the spiritual success of his children. You know, we as parents commit ourselves to the success of our children. We want them to grow up. We try to train them, teach them, provide them with opportunities, and we're committed to their success. But God is committed to our spiritual success. He has called us to be his servants. In 1 Corinthians 1:9, Paul says, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. He has called us, and he has promised to give us deliverance from evil. The Lord is faithful, who will establish you and keep you from evil. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, that great verse that tells us how to beat temptation, tells us that there's no temptation taken us but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. God is dependable. You have never, ever had a temptation that you could not beat, that you could not escape from. And that verse tells us that. He says, there's no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. You ever think about that verse and the truth that's in that verse? Whenever we come to a point where we commit a sin, what did we just do? We made a deliberate choice. We made a deliberate choice. It's almost like coming to a fork in a road every time. Because he tells us that there is no temptation that's ever come before us that's greater than we can bear. And he provides a way of escape. So the temptation is not too much. And the escape path is apparent. And so when we sin, what are we doing? We're deliberately choosing to act independently of God. We're choosing deliberately to be unfaithful. But God is faithful. And not only has he called us to be his servant, not only has he promised to deliver us, to provide deliverance from evil, he has promised to faithfully finish and complete the work that he has begun in our lives. You know, the passage there in Hebrews that we're coming up to, and I read those two verses, the one there in verse 6 and also in verse 14, it talks about if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. And then the verse 14, for you're made partakers of Christ. If we hold the confidence, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. A lot of times in Scripture, we have passages that are given as encouragement. There are other passages that are given as a warning of judgment. And God has promised to faithfully finish that which he has called us to. He is going to finish making us Christ-like. He is going to complete the salvation which he has begun. And we have that confidence. In 1 Thessalonians 5:24, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. If God has called you to salvation, if he has made you his child, then he is going to complete that salvation. He's not going to quit halfway through. Excuse me. In Philippians 1:6, it says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. We can have confidence in God's faithfulness. Now, the Bible tells us that we're not to put our trust in man. Put no confidence in the flesh, the Scripture says. Because what happens when we put confidence in our flesh? Well, we fall. We fail. And our confidence needs to be rightly placed in the faithfulness of God. So God is faithful. But not only do we see God's faithfulness in Scripture, we also see that God requires his servants to be faithful. God desires us to be faithful, just as it says back in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. It's not an option. It's not a suggestion. It's not a preference. You know, it'd be nice if you'd be faithful. You know, when the pastor gets up and says, hey, folks, we need to be faithful, he's not saying, hey, folks, it'd be nice to be faithful. No, God commands each one of us to be faithful. It's not an option. Faithfulness is required in stewards. And so God's servants must be faithful. Paul was faithful. He's a great example of faithfulness. You look at Paul, you look at the things he went through and all the different sufferings, the testings, the trials of his life, and yet Paul persevered clear to the end. And in 1 Timothy at chapter 1 and verse 12, 1 Timothy 1 verse 12, Paul said this, he says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. And then he says, who before was a blasphemer, persecutor, and on. But God made Paul a faithful servant. Timothy was faithful. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17, for this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. How wonderful it was for Paul to have a Timothy. He says, I can count on Timothy. Timothy is faithful. You know, just like Abraham's steward Eliezer, Paul had Timothy who was faithful. You know, pastors and church leaders must be faithful and have faithful homes to be qualified. You read about the qualifications there in those pastoral epistles that Paul wrote. A bishop must then be faithful. Those who were deacons were to be considered faithful. Faithful. And their wives were to be faithful. And their children were to be faithful. Titus 1 verse 6, having faithful children. Faithfulness is required. And where do we see faithfulness? Where do we see faithfulness? We see it in the details. We see it in the small things. You know, if you can't be faithful in the little things, you will not be given great responsibility. And that was the message that Jesus gave in Luke chapter 16, verses 10 through 12. He says, listen, if you will not be faithful in the small things, no one is going to entrust you with big things. Remember the parable of the talents that the one master gave the one servant 10 talents. He gave another servant 5 talents. And he gave the last one 2 or different amounts in the other parables that are the same. But here, he left for a while and he came back. He came back and the servant that had 10 talents went and made another 10. The one that had 5 made another 5. The one that had 2, well, what did he do? He just buried it. Didn't use it. If you can't be faithful in the little things, don't be expected to be given great responsibility. In fact, the steward that buried the talent, if you recall in the passage, you realize he did not get a promotion, did he? No, he got a great demotion. The two faithful stewards were honored, were blessed, but the one that was faithless did not. In 1 Timothy 3:5, if a pastor can't rule his own house, how can he take care of the church of God? Back in the Old Testament, in the life of Joseph, we think of Joseph as one who was faithful. You know, Joseph, the end of his life, was a far different picture than his earlier years. The end of his life there, he died in great honor and dignity. And there, really, the second in command in the land of Egypt, prime minister. How did he get there? He didn't get there with a silver spoon stuck in his mouth. You know, Joseph went through great adversity. He'd completed years of grueling testing. Sold by his brothers, sold into slavery, purchased by Potiphar, became the steward of that house, and then got demoted, thrown in prison. And then, after that, of course, God lifted him up out of prison and honored him with great, great honor. But he didn't become prime minister of Egypt until he had completed years of testing, years of being faithful. Daniel, in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, he was faithful to the Lord. He was faithful to his upbringing in the Word. He would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Daniel was found faithful in his commitment to God. And it says in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 4, Daniel had risen to be one of the top vice presidents under Nebuchadnezzar, or no, under Darius, I believe it was. And he was one of the top three, I believe. And the other princes became very jealous. And they thought, you know what? We need to get rid of this guy. And so they hired a guy from Russia to write a phony paper. No, they started talking to each other, how can we get rid of Daniel? I'm not comparing Trump to Daniel, but what these guys did is no less than what we've seen in our modern day. And they were saying, how can we get Daniel? We got to trap him. We got to create some kind of a problem. We got to get rid of him. I mean, look, he's taken away our importance. And what they do, it says, then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. I mean, they were eavesdropping on his phone calls, or checking his tweets, his texts, everything. And there was nothing in Daniel's life that they could lay hand on to, you know, accuse him of fault, except, it says, they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Daniel 6:4. So what did they do? They made his worship illegal. And we know that Daniel's faithful in his worship. Let's make his worship against the law and see what happens. Of course, you know the story. Daniel was faithful. He was faithful to the Lord. He was cast into the den of lions, and that was the end of his life, right? No. He was cast into the den of lions, and he was delivered gloriously. And then All those Democrats, all those evil people who had tried to sink his ship, where did they end up? They ended up in the lion's den too, but their outcome wasn't as good. And by the way, realize that what plays out in Scripture still plays out today. Listen, there's a lion's den coming for those who violate God's principles. There is definitely a lion's den coming, because God is the one who keeps the score. We just must be faithful. Be faithful. It's the small things that make for Christian maturity. It's the small things that make for the Christian's testimony. And the Bible says it's the little foxes that destroy the vines. It's the small things. Faithfulness in the small things is a characteristic of a faithful person. You know, you think about the small things of the Christian life. How about your personal walk with God? How about daily spending time in the Word? Is that something that you just, I can't be faithful with that. It's hit or miss, always hit or miss in my own devotional life. If that's the case, then you're not a faithful person. Okay? You're not being faithful. Do you daily spend time in God's Word and in prayer? How about in the home? Do you faithfully lead your family closer to God? Do you teach your children the Word of God in your home, or do you relegate that responsibility to the church and hope that on Sunday they'll pick up enough to last them till the next Sunday, and that's how they grow? Okay? That's not faithfulness. How about your faithfulness and commitment to the body of Christ? You know, church attendance is actually a matter of faithfulness. Yes, it is. And as we talked about in the Bible study hour, it's actually a matter of sacrifice. It's a matter of worship. We need to be faithful not only in our church attendance, faithful in our giving, in our offerings to the Lord. We're to be faithful, to give generously and cheerfully. And it's the first fruits that God asks for. We don't give him three-legged cows. We don't give him blind chickens. We talked about that in the Bible study hour. It's our worship. It's an act of worship. And you know what? Giving is a sacrifice. Remember Jesus there looking at the treasury, and he watched the rich go by, and they would cast in out of their abundance a bag of gold here. And it doesn't say this, but by implication, we understand that those who were casting in much really weren't giving much at all. It really wasn't a sacrifice. They were, in a sense, tipping God. You know, you go out to eat. I mean, lately, though, you look at that. It shouldn't say tip at the end. It should say sacrifice, right? You get your meal, and they give you suggestions. And they don't start at 10% anymore. It's like 15, 20, and write your account number, you know, whatever. But, you know, the tip. I went out to eat with Becky a couple weeks ago. We were just by ourselves, and I looked at the bill, and it was something we kind of splurged on. It was kind of fun for the two of us. And I got to the end of that thing, and I looked at the tip, and I thought, man, yeah, it's a sacrifice. It's not a tip anymore. But here were these people coming through the treasury, and the rich were casting in out of their abundance, and then came this little old lady, an LOL, right? Here she came, and she cast in her two mites. And those weren't the two bugs that were on her sleeve that fell into the treasure box as she walked. No, two coins, two small coins. And Jesus turned to his disciples and said, "Do you see what she just did? She gave more than all of the rest combined." And that made no sense, because there was a lot of gold that everybody else had been dumping in the chest, and she only put in two little copper pennies. And then Jesus makes this point. He said, and I'll put it in my words, she sacrificed. That was worship. She gave something that cost her much. Didn't cost the other people casting in their gold, didn't cost them much. They were just giving out of their abundance. But here she gave everything she had. And, you know, always whenever I'm reading that passage in the scripture for our family devotions, I always kind of add just to kind of accentuate. I said, and then she left, went home, and starved to death the next day, right? Kids go, "Oh, no, it couldn't have been like that." No, it wasn't like that. You know, the widow at Zarephath, when she made the little cakes for Elijah, and then what happened? She survived through the entire famine. Why? She had been faithful. and she sacrificed and God blessed her. I've never known anyone who sacrificed for God who was not blessed. And so here, our faithfulness and our commitment to the body of Christ, and attendance, and giving, spending time in prayer with brothers and sisters in Christ. And we need to remember that when we use our time, when we give of our money to the benefit of the Lord's work, we need to remember that it's borrowed time to begin with. It's money on loan from God. And yes, as Rush said, it's talent on loan from God. All that we have, truly, is on loan from God. And we are to faithfully use it as what? As stewards. We're stewards. You go back to those parables that Jesus spoke of, and we don't read about that the man who made 10 talent or who had 5 talents given to him, and the master left, and so the man went out and he splurged. He bought himself a new suit. He got himself a new car, and he went out and, you know, enjoyed his life with his friends and spent everything on himself. No, that's not what happened. The master came back and he was able to give account that, look, what I have done with what you've given me, I have glorified you. I have made you even more. I've been faithful. How about our faithfulness to the Great Commission? Are we faithful to share the gospel with the people around us? Are we faithful to be a witness and a testimony of God's goodness to the lost souls into whose contact we come on a regular basis? Now, do you find yourself making excuses for your lack of faithfulness? Well, I would, but, or I can't because. Listen, faithful people don't make excuses. If we know these things, Jesus says in John 13 and verse 17, speaking of his commandments, if we know them, happy are we if we do them. If we do them. And listen, we have a wonderful example in the life of Christ. Just as it says in Hebrews there, look at Moses, look at Christ. He says there in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1, consider whom? Consider Christ Jesus. Consider him. Hear him. In the example of Christ and his faithfulness, he came to do the will of his Father, and everything that he did, he was faithful, even unto death, as it says in Philippians chapter 2. We consider Christ's faithfulness. He is both the author and the finisher of our faith. And in Hebrews chapter 12, in the first 6 verses there, when we're tempted to quit, he says, consider Christ. When you're tempted to throw in the towel, consider Christ. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the Father. Jesus was faithful, and God exalted him. Jesus relied on the Word of God. In his earthly ministry, he would respond to temptation with the Word of God. He would quote the Scriptures. And so he is our great example. Listen, you're a steward. Every one of us is a steward. And the Scripture says it is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. What has been committed to you? What are you a steward of? I know I'm not supposed to end a sentence with a preposition, so I should say, of what are you a steward? We are all stewards. And it's required that we be faithful, so you need to think about your stewardship. What is in your care? What has been given to your responsibility? Well, Romans 12:1, we've been given a body, which we are supposed to make a living sacrifice. Our talents and our abilities and our gifts, even our hobbies and our interests, aren't they so varied? Isn't it amazing that even in one family you'll have so many different interests? And all of those are custom designed by God. Our children, our possessions, our time, our testimony, the gospel message. All of these things have been entrusted to our care. We are stewards of all of these things. and we must be faithful. And so let me encourage you today that, as Paul said, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. I'm a steward. You are a steward. And we must look at our lives and we need to ask ourselves that question: am I faithful? Am I being a faithful steward? And let's be faithful. Listen, God is faithful. He blesses faithfulness. He expects faithfulness. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your faithfulness. Lord, we thank you that you're a God that can be depended upon. Lord, a God who answers when we call. Lord, you're a God who does not change. Lord, you are not a God that's capricious, but Lord, you've told us what to expect. You've told us what you expect. And Lord, you don't change, and we thank you so much for that. We can rely upon you. You are our rock, our foundation. And Lord, help us to be faithful stewards of all of those things which you have committed to our trust. Lord, that someday that we stand before you, Lord, that we might hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Lord, help us to be faithful in all areas of our lives. May we trust you. And Lord, we thank you for the strength and the encouragement that we find in your word. Lord, may we look to Jesus, our example of faithfulness. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.